Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Bring us in, babe.
Welcome to
Coco Caliente.
Welcome to Coco Caliente, everybody.
Another edition of our amazing podcast that's loved by everyone and anyone that you ask.
Oh my God.
Was that too much?
Yes.
So Nicole, tell me why you're, so we're still doing the juice thing, right?
The reason I'm doing the juice thing is because I only did it twice and then I gained like 5 pounds after the juice thing. And now I'm leaving for Florida in 48 hours and I have all these expensive juices I didn't drink. So that's why I'm doing the juice thing.
And it's healthy. And you like them.
Yeah. I won't do it again.
Really?
Unless I'm desperate.
I like the juice. It's just hard.
Homemade juice is a lot better. I don't know what it is, but I'm a juice snob apparently.
No, it's just they're also, it's just hard to juice. I don't know. And it's like Nicole was saying, she was also trying like to do like the fasting thing. But then what happened was like she won't eat after, and she still does it. No, she doesn't do the fasting. She just doesn't eat after 7, which works better.
I gave that up for Lent. That's nothing to do with, like, a diet. That was my Lent.
But still, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's still good, right? That's how people, you know, if I did that, I think I'd lose a ton of weight because I snack all night.
Well, I haven't lost any weight.
Well, so weren't we talking about that where you find yourself where you're like, okay, I can't eat after 7.
So I eat a lot more.
So I eat a lot more throughout the day to counterbalance.
So I'm juicing today, which is a joke because I had about half a pound of spaghetti salad this morning and like a bunch of other stuff because I was allowed to eat till 11 o'clock.
So, yeah.
Because I know I'm so crabby right now. I'm so crabby.
But it's okay. But she has a much needed break coming up. And I say she, because we can't go to Florida together. Insert music. Wah, 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 wah.
No, so I'm going for 11 days and Victor's going for 48 hours.
Literally. So with the new job position in the first, I'd say like the first year or so, you got to make some sacrifices and you can't move your schedule around like you want to, you know. And so, yeah, I only get to go for 48 hours. So I envy the fact that Nicole gets to go for that long.
I'm really excited. I'm just basically going with my parents. My brother and his girlfriend, Ashley, are down there right now. My brother and his girlfriend are down there. Not my parents. We're all leaving, you know, super early Wednesday morning. Mm-hmm. So by the time you hear this, I'm in Florida. And I'm excited because I think I need the sun. Like, you know, the Monday blues.
Mm-hmm.
Or not, winter blues,
the
I
winter
guess.
Blues.
I think that was starting to come.
So I got an interesting story to tell you guys. If you don't watch my Instagram, which you shouldn't, right? Because I'm not even that fun or interesting and I don't post a lot. But
you are funny and I share the funny moments on my Instagram.
She does. And you do a good job at capturing what you can, right? So the other day I was driving to work and I hear this like clackety clack sound in my car. And I call Nicole's dad because he knows about that stuff. And as I'm driving, I call him and I say, "Hey, do you know what this sound is?" He's like, "No, I can't really hear it. What's going on?" And then all of a sudden, a belt snaps, right? So then I pull over. And then I am looking to see what's going on. And I see there's smoke coming from the hood of my car. There's some smoke coming out. I open it up. I look. I don't see anything. And then I walk up closer and I look straight down and I see a little fire, right? So then I call Nicole. I said, my car's on fire right now, and I'm going to try to put it out, but I don't know what I'm going to do for work stuff, right? So she starts getting her stuff squared away, basically to get another car to me. And I start trying to put the fire out with some ice and water, which I think will work, right? Dave said, hey, just try that. The fire's not going out. I have to call.
I never thought that would work. I feel like that's like throwing water onto a stove. You like throw a rug onto a stove.
No, but don't you know why you don't throw water onto a stove?
Yeah, because it'll make it worse.
But why?
Because it's an electric fire.
No, because it's an oil fire.
Oh.
On the stove when you're cooking, a lot of times it's because it's oil, right?
But water won't put out an electric fire.
Yeah, it will.
Oh.
Yeah.
Everybody just pretend I'm smart, okay?
I think, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, you don't want to put water.
You don't put water in an electric like outlet. To,
you don't want to, but if you have to, it's a feasible way to put out
a
fire.
So you're saying that stove there, that's an electric stove, is run by oil.
Oh, no. I'm saying if I have a pan and I'm heating up oil on the pan and whatever I'm cooking catches fire in the pan that has oil in it, you don't want to throw water in it.
I'm talking about a fire on the burner. Like how?
Well, there's not going to be a fire on that burner. That's why those are safer.
Well, there was fire. I had fires growing up on the burners.
Yeah, but that doesn't have a burner. You know, the other burner are the coil burners is what you're talking about.
Oh, you don't know what you're talking about.
You have coil burners at your parents' house, right?
Yes.
That's what you're talking
about. So I'm talking about, so that is not an oil fire.
That is not. There is no oil. That's you're right.
Okay, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay, I get what you're saying now. But I'm sorry to confuse you, but no.
You are not smarter than I.
I
will take a brain test against you and I will kick your butt.
Anyway, so whatever this fire was, really what I think it was plastic burning. That's why it wasn't going out. But the water and ice wasn't putting it out. It slowly started growing. A bystander came by, gave me a fire extinguisher. The fire extinguisher didn't put it out.
I saw his wife at workout class tonight, by the way.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, she told me that he put out your fire. I said, what a small world.
That's funny. Well, anyway, so then the first firefighter gets there and is like, it's almost like a volunteer firefighter. He has a fire extinguisher. That one doesn't put it out. I mean, well, that one finally does put it out all the way, but after my, like, half of my bumper burned, you know, and it was like a solid fire. So my car caught on fire. That's my story. And the car that now that I've had for 10 years and racked up 211,000 miles on is donezo.
And you talked about it quite a bit on here, so I think they know.
Yeah.
So
it's a sad moment.
I was actually, for some reason, I put feelings into everything, and I was driving to Victor, and I was crying because I felt like it was sad that the car was going through that, because I just imagine the car just chugging along, like,
yeah,
I'm
just
old,
trying. Yeah. and she has, I mean, she, and I've told this to Nicole all the time, like, I've gone from Louisiana to Florida, or from Louisiana to Florida, yeah, several times, but Louisiana to California, I've gone there and back twice. You know, that's a ton of miles. You know, she's gone basically all around the U.S., and she's driven all the way up here to Michigan, you know, from Louisiana, and into Canada and back. I mean, she's been everywhere.
She will be missed.
She will be missed, and whatever they give me for that car is not even going to be enough, like not close to enough.
Who told you that, babes?
You.
Yeah.
But, and I just, this, like the, I think it's like 18, so the fair market value, I looked this up, and Nicole's finding this out now, the fair market value for that car, for being so old, it's like $1,800, right? But it's not even, I mean, $1,800 is probably what I save in 6 months in gas by driving that car. You know what I mean? Just because
it's
so,
like, paid off.
It's paid off. It's very economical.
Yeah.
And I remember driving that car with my best friend in college, you know, Marie and Marino, just, and that was it. You know, we got the whip, you know, so. But anyway, that's my heartfelt moment about my vehicle.
Okay, why don't you take a breath now? Okay. Well, today we have a really exciting guest. I'm going to wait until they come on to introduce them.
Yes.
Him, her, or him and her.
It just makes it more exciting. I feel like sometimes we say it up front and it's like, oh, maybe a surprise and just hear their voice for a second and then we introduce them. Maybe you can guess who it is.
Or maybe we just don't know which episode we're coming out with this week.
Or maybe we're saying this because we're not sure who we're putting on right now.
Well,
him, her, them.
We have like three interviews in the next 12 hours, so we're just going to draw out of a hat. So enjoy.
Hopefully enjoy.
Hello.
Hello,
hello,
Mark.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, thanks so much for joining us today.
We really appreciate it.
No, for sure. I'm really thankful for having me. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, anytime. Everybody that's listening, we have a very fun, interesting guest today. Mark Anthony Cuevas, not to be mistaken with Mark Anthony the singer.
My mom really set me up this time. Right? It all started at birth.
I was gonna ask you that. I was like, did your mom, when she was coming up, you know, how to name you, was she a huge fan of Mark Anthony?
You know, I had no idea. I think, you know, my mom's always been a super religious person. So I know that Mark in the Bible, like, my brother's name is John. I have an older brother. So it's like she's always been super religious. And so I think the middle name just kind of worked together. But I think she told me one time, she's like, yeah, but I didn't want it to be with a C because it just didn't look good. I was like, all right, mom, whatever you say, sure.
What is your background ethnicity from your family?
So both my parents are Mexican. They're both from Mexico, came over in the 80s, both of them. Where my dad started in California, my mom moved straight to Chicago because my grandmother came over there first. Mm-hmm. And that's my dad moved over to Chicago because my uncle or his uncle and then my mom's aunt got married. And so that's where my parents met.
Okay. So do you speak Spanish?
Yes, I do. I do. That was actually my first language. Era mi primer idioma.
Ah, yo también. Español fue mi primer idioma.
Oh, qué bueno.
Ajá. Y hacemos un segment aquí a veces que es Spanish word of the day for Nicole. And so I won't do it with you. I might have you pick a Spanish word later to do for her.
That's awesome.
For that segment.
I'll let you pick it and then I'll help out.
Yes, sounds good.
No doubt.
So for anybody listening, Mark was on the first season of this love experiment on Netflix called Love is Blind, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So and the premise of the show is basically you're trying to see if people can fall in love without seeing each other. And then get, you know, basically propose and get married and then see what happens after that. Mm-hmm. When they presented this, first of all, how did this idea even come into your radar? How did this whole thing come about?
So it's funny. I've gotten that question a lot. Everyone's like, are you an actor? Have you done like reality TV? I'm like, the only reality TV show that I've ever really watched was like Jersey Shore back when it was big. And so I don't know if that was like it actually came up helping me because like that was all me during the show. Like I never really got into like what the fans thought of me or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like even when they're filming, like they found me on Instagram. So they slid in my DMs and they were like, hey, like follow the link. If you're interested, we're doing this like Atlanta Singles Project. And I was kind of like, well, sure. I kept saying like, why not? I was like, why not? And then like next thing you know, a couple months later, after like a couple of psychological evaluations and Skype calls, I was like, all right. Like they waited till the last 2 weeks to pick me because I was below their age threshold. I think their age it was like 25 was like the cutoff and I was 24 at the time. So they were like really deciding with me. And then, you know, thankfully, like it all kind of like worked out.
And that's just so bizarre to even. And so, did you know going in that it was so you knew it was like a dating experiment or a love experiment over there? Mm-hmm. Okay, so
They were very upfront. Yeah, they were very upfront about what the premise was. And you know, I kind of had like at first I was like, but as the process kept going, and when I had these conversations with the producers beforehand. Because they were very thorough. They didn't just add people in there that, like, in my opinion, weren't thinking about or ready to make that big step. So when they asked me these questions, I mean, they were really personal of, like, you know, who are you were in your past relationships and all this other stuff. And so I just felt like it led me to really think about what I really wanted. And I'm like, if I can find, like, a love at 24, because I always believe that, if, like, I think we all are trying to find that. And I'm like, if I can find it at 24, I'm like, then why not?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's insane. And that's what you thought,
like
right?
Because you
were really like.
You're a very mature 24-year-old.
Thank you. Yes. I'm 26 now, by the way.
Okay. Now you're 26. That's so crazy.
He's a man, babe.
And I'm I'm 27. So when I was watching that, really, it's just weird to think, like, I thought you really were 24. But it's weird that it was 2 years ago.
I appreciate it. I've always been, I'm sorry. You know, it was funny, like a year and a half before the show, I actually was like, became more introspective of, you know, trying to figure out what I want to like do. Like my grandmother had passed away at that time, a year and a half ago. And we were like super, super close. Like, I'm like, this lady's going to see me like at my wedding, or like my kids and all this stuff. And then it kind of like gave me this reality check of, holy cow, like I need to work on myself because like, there's not much like time, you know? And like, we always think we have a lot, like a long time,
right?
But it kind of like hit me with this reality check. And so I really started investing in myself, like reading books, you know, going to like even therapy before the show. Like I was just trying to figure out different things about myself that like, you know, helped me kind of be even introspective then. And then the show kind of amplified it to be more introspective now.
Yeah.
It's crazy how something, and it seems like a huge thing, but it also, it just really starts that simple, being introspective. It's more just being more aware of what's going on around you and what you want out of life is kind of like what it boils down to, and how fast your outlook on things and your reaction to things and how you process things and emotions and thoughts and on a deeper level, how that just changes your whole life.
Right.
Exactly. 100%. I think so many times we go into this avoidance mode of, wow, this happened to me. And I'm like, no, that happened for you. Like, what is something that you can kind of take out of that that like can really help? Cause you never know who you can influence. There's somebody out there that like is going through the same thing. And you're, whatever your struggle is like, there's somebody that like they hear like, oh, he went through that too. It's like, it may not be the same thing, but wow, I could do it, you know? And I don't know. That's how I've always kind of looked at it, and it maybe that like always big picture wise, and it's always, I don't know, it's always helped me move forward.
And as we were watching you on the show, it was, you were so vulnerable, and it was awesome to see that, because that means you were just open to that possibility, right? If you go in there with a different mindset, you might not have the same outcome, you know what I mean? Like maybe nothing will happen. Like actually a lot of people from the cast didn't have anything happen to them, you know what I mean? But there was a few of you guys that did. So how was that, trying to like get to know somebody through a wall?
You know what was so cool about it, and I'm gonna be very honest, is like, it really gave me I think all of us a reality check of like what we are really looking for. Not just like, oh, is this person blonde, brunette, you know, white, black? Like, that stuff didn't matter to a majority of us that made it to a show. Like, even I would say 90% of the cast, you know what I mean? Like, it, all of that stuff, we were just like, whatever. We weren't looking at that anymore. Like, they gave us these questions. They're like, you can use these or you don't have to. But, like, these are questions that help build the connection. And, you know, time is of the essence. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to be 100% myself on this experience. And I'm going to really figure out what I want. And I think deep down, like, when I asked those questions, I started to realize, like, what do I want? Like, what is, like, I don't know if you know, guys noticed, but we had, like, a journal, like, in during the show. Like, I got to, like, it wasn't just, like, let me write down what they said. It was, okay, what did I want? What is what does my future wife look like to me? And what does my family look like to me? And so it became, instead of this swipe left, swipe right culture of how hot are you, it became like, what type of person are you? And that's something that I've carried to this day, where I like, that's what I look for in friends and a romantic partner.
Yeah. And let's take a step back to where, when you were actually entering, so you guys, all the guys stayed together. And you got, you all are together, you're kind of looking around, and you're just, are you just kind of like, this is real and this is like my competition, or how are you feeling?
I'm not going to lie. So it's just like this, any, like, I'll speak like on the male side, right? It's like, you're kind of feeling every guy out, like, okay, like this is this character, this is that character. Like, let's, let's see what they're about. And you know, me, I've always been the outgoing type of like, I'm going to say hey to everybody and then see how they react. Kind of deal. But it was such an intense experience that after, I would say, day two or three, it never felt like competition. I think it felt like a brotherhood of people, like guys supporting each other. And whenever a guy would come out, because I think there was a lot of stuff that guys were holding on to that I'll speak from the guy's side, that they didn't realize that they were still holding on to, that even though the relationship romantically was building, they came out because they had never been that vulnerable before to a support system of other guys who are like, hey man, how can we help you? And so like all the guys, we all still keep in touch, and we're all very, very close. Like, because we all went through it together and no one's done it before.
Right. And then would you feel like, try to see who other people are liking, or was that something like if it just came up, it was brought up, but you weren't like investigating if someone was into the same person you were?
Yeah, we definitely weren't investigating. I think everyone was.
I feel like girls would investigate. That's just my opinion. Like, wait, what was funny, who do you like?
Right. And so what was funny is actually, I think for me, I'll speak for myself, is like after day three, I kind of knew that the only connection I had was with Jess. Mm-hmm. And not to say anything bad about the other girls. It's just like the way everything kind of went down and the romantic connections, like I started to build friendships with some of the girls.
Yeah.
And so I'd be like, so what's she like? So what is she like here? And so like, what is she like there? And like, so they would give me kind of like the insight from the pod perspective.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so like my final three girls were Diamond, Amber, and Jess, but Diamond and Amber were like my sisters, basically. They're like my best friends, you know? And we're still
okay. That's how you and Amber became, you guys were such good friends on the show, like after, like when you guys were in, where were you guys at for your, like.
Was it Mexico?
Yeah.
We were in Mexico. Yeah,
okay. Yeah.
We
you guys had that strong friendship. And so you built that in the pods. That makes more sense now.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. There was so much content that like, it's hard to put it into like 10 episodes. And I totally get it. It was, but there was a lot of conversations like that were very, very deep. Like even me and Amber, we just became really, really close friends. And then even Diamond as well. And I was actually close with Lauren too. Like we would talk about life and goals and stuff like that. And after we realized, like, it was never this like hyper competitive of like, oh, I got this girl, that girl. You know what I mean?
Right.
Even to, yeah, all that stuff. It was actually good.
Were you able to pick who you wanted to go on a date with? And like, were you required to take a certain amount of dates in one day?
So what happened? The first day will kind of clear all that. So the first day we had speed dating. So we dated all 15 girls, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it'd be like five or six guys that go in the dating pods at a time. And then like five other dudes would be in the living area doing like whatever, like talking about life. And then a couple other guys would be in interviews. Well, when we were in the dating pods, like we had 7 minutes to talk to the first set of 15 girls.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. You know what
I mean? Wait, 7 minutes total for 15 girls or 7 minutes with each girl?
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Like, hey. It's like, oh my God, this is real speed dating.
Like, is their voice tolerable? Yes or no?
Oh my God. And so what happened is, so we had to rank them between 1 to 15 after day one.
Oh.
And they had to rank us. Mm. And so based on like the ranking of like, okay, I was number one for them, but they were my number four.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the order would kind of work out later on.
Mm.
So if you guys were higher ranking, you'd see them more often. And the people that were in your lower ranking and they ranked you lower, you wouldn't see them as often anymore after the first day.
Okay. That makes sense.
So that's why the first day is so important, because they were like, you only have 7 minutes to ask the questions you want to ask, so you better ask them quick. And so it made me realize, okay, what is more important to me to ask right now? Because I need to get what's going to help me get a good vibe off this person real quick, you know?
And was those dates in the pods, was that exhausting? Because it kind of seemed like
an interview almost.
Yeah, it seemed almost like an interview type thing. Yeah, you would have a conversation, but part of talking to somebody and being there in the moment with them, it seems a little bit more engaging, so it's harder to get bored of things or just feel like you're bogged down, especially going from like date to date type of deal. So did you feel like at any day, like you're like, oh man, got another date I gotta go to, you know?
The only time I ever got nerves was when I'm gonna propose, because I'm like, oh my God, I wonder what he's gonna say. No, it was honestly,
fun.
No, because for me, I love first dates. Like, I love to get to know somebody. Like, that's when someone's like, they're really putting on their best foot forward. They're trying to talk to you. But then it's like, I really want to get to know you as a person. Like, I'm like, okay, like, you're going to give me the highlight reel, but I'm going to surprise you. And I want to get to know you on a deeper level, you know, like, see if this is going to work. And so every first date to me was actually exciting, because, I mean, we didn't have our phones. We didn't have anything else to do. Of like, aside from do this. And I'm like, that gave us an opportunity to look forward to it.
Yeah, you know? That's a good point.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm still it's still yet to see if the experiment is successful. I know two people got married, but
they're still married. I know they're still married,
but you got to give it like 5 years, right?
Really?
See if they're still.
And, I hear like let's give it a buffer period of like 5 years, and then fine.
Yeah,
everybody forgets about it.
Well, that's
everybody forgets about it. Then they're like, okay, fine.
Well, because it's still the reason I say that is because there is still. Yes, they got together and they were together. But since this show just aired not too long ago, mm-hmm. it's almost like they're in a honeymoon phase again.
For sure.
They got all these followers on social media. They're mm-hmm. interacting. They're doing all these public appearances. You know what I mean? So it makes it easier to like somebody when everything is great.
True.
You know?
Cool. Think of the emotional connection you can make with somebody in a year and a half of like waiting.
Yeah.
You know, of like no one knows who you are and you're – you know, doing your thing. And in that's I for me, Lauren and Cameron and Amber and Barnett, I mean, it's like everyone was meant, everything happened the way it was supposed to happen, because the way Cameron looks at Lauren and Lauren right. looks like I still talk to them, and like even Amber and Barnett, they're these two people, these two sets of couples, like whenever I'm near them, it's this, they're the same people that when I first met them, and like it's like nothing's changed. And like there's yes, you're right. If like we went through this experience together, but there's that amplified romance of holy crap! I met this person in like how quickly and yeah. like boom, you know, like they you know, whether they live with each other or not, it's like they built this emotional connection in a year and a half. I mean, some people, you know, you could have a kid in a year and a half,
yeah,
right?
Like, absolutely.
You know, so think of like the time frame of a year and a half is and. Now that it's almost like you're right, it's almost like we are, it almost makes them tighter, because it's like now we got to, now we're sticking together for real, because this is what we went through together.
Yeah,
you know, it's like galvanizing them together.
I could see that. I mean, I'm still going to give it that 5 year buffer, because the only reason I know is because the same thing kind of happened. Nicole and I mean, we had already been together for a little bit, but when we're going on, we did The Amazing Race. And then when it airs, there's still that excitement, you know, the show is going to air and then we get to see it.
Yeah.
So for them, they did end up together. So it was a happy ending for them. So then they have the excitement of the show airing and getting to watch it, you know, and then they stay together mm-hmm. and all this stuff. I mean, Amber, I guess, you know, when she watched it, she was a little mad. Yeah. But you know, they stayed together, so yeah. I don't know, you're right, and I'll concede and say that I'll wait, I'll still give it the 5 years.
I'm brushing some dirt off my shoulders. No, I'm kidding. No, I appreciate it, man. It's like I'm really proud of all, like, it really is like this fraternity / sorority of group of people that
absolutely.
Like are genuinely good people. And I have a lot of love for every single person that went through this with us. Like, doesn't matter who it is. Like, we all went through something, and I know, like, moving forward, it's something that we're going to take into our next relationships, friendships, like families. It's really beautiful to see how everyone's kind of carrying themselves. And I really genuinely, it's everyone's themselves. And I believe it. You know?
So what's it like filming this and then waiting for it to come out for a year and a half?
Oh, man. I mean, you know, it's kind of like you have this period of like, is it going to happen? Is it going to come out? Like, I swear I'm not crazy. Like, it's like you start to remember. I'm like, did I actually film that? Did that happen? And you know, it was a long year, but I'm honestly like, And I don't know the universe, what people believe, but I believe in God's timing. Mm-hmm. And I think that had it happened sooner, I don't think I would have learned some of the lessons that like I would have learned in that meantime of like patience. And,
right.
you know, it's like really, really being able to like even learn as much as I did within that year and a half as like then had it happened like 3 months right after, or like, mm-hmm. Like some shows are like, you know, filming during, right?
Yeah.
Like, no, it's like I wanted... this whole thing gave us enough time to kind of like process and seek out, like, you know, whether that was therapy, air quotes, or anything like that, like seek out that kind of like help or support. And then like, now that it's out, it's like, we were ready for it.
Yeah. You know? That's a good point. And also like when we were watching it, Victor would like look up the people, like Lauren and Cameron, he goes, they're not together. They don't post anything on social media together. Well, I didn't realize that they were not just like allowed to post each other. And then now once they got married, I was like, Vic, you're wrong. They're very much still together. Mm-hmm. But it was hard. Like you couldn't spy. Like you couldn't find out Like,
well, no one knew who we were. Everyone was like, kind of like, you know, it's kind of funny. We're like, we're not allowed to say nothing, but it's also like, well, no one, honestly, people probably wouldn't have believed us. And we're like, oh yeah, by the way, I did this dating show and like, you know, I proposed within 10 days. Oh, and I might get married, right?
So like, was like, if you were in a relationship with someone from the show, you just weren't allowed to like post them or like publicly engage with them in any way?
Well, and not that publicly engaging, mm-hmm. I think, because that one, again, it's like not that anybody knew who we were.
True.
You know, but it's more so of like posting photos, because then it goes into timeline of like when the show comes out. It's like, oh, well, they were posting back then and this and this and that. Right. And like all it does, it draws questions. Mm-hmm. And I think that was what they were worried about.
Okay.
And did you know this was going to be on Netflix when you were filming it?
I didn't know it was going to be on Netflix until like the first day of filming. Like, okay. So they kept saying a big network, big network, big network. And I'm like, all right, like, what is this? Like,
like they're trying to sell you on it. Like, don't worry, it's going to be the biggest network.
And not to, you know, not to say anything about Lifetime.
No,
my mom
I know
was
what
Lifetime,
you mean. So it's like, fine.
Shout out to my mom. Love you. Like, Lifetime's great. Just want to say, like, I was like, big to hoop, like, right? And then when they told us, we all kind of looked at each other like, oh, snap. Like,
yeah.
Oh, that, okay. Yeah. And no one expected it to be like this, to reach as many people as not a single. I promise you ask any one of them, like, no one thought it was going to be like this.
Yeah, because Netflix, I mean, 160 some odd million subscribers, you know, in the world. And to think that, so what I'm getting at is nobody would have ever thought that you guys would get the following that you guys have now because of that show on Netflix, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah,
and so exactly. What was awesome to see is that you guys were really just normal people trying to get on this experiment for love.
Not trying to get famous.
And now, and now the second season, if they do a second season, which they probably will because this one was very successful, I don't know if they're going to get people for the right reasons. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think this first season is like the real season. Like
it was full of emotion. It was full of like everyone who they absolutely were to their core, mm-hmm. instead of like, oh, I'm going to pretend to get engaged just so I can like say no at the altar and get all these followers.
And so the cool thing about it, and no, you guys are 100% right. I think every first season, right? Think of like all the first seasons of everything, whether it's like mm-hmm. Game of Thrones or like all these other shows, like the first season's kind of like pivotal. But I think into these this dating experience, it was so intense, the process before we even got there of like vulnerability. I think if they follow their model that they did with us, mm-hmm. they can kind of weed out the folks. And don't get me wrong, there's always, I think any reality show, there's always going to be someone looking for, mm-hmm. whether that's the clout or like the fame or whatever. Mm-hmm. But love is undeniable in my opinion of like, whether the way it's portrayed or whether when you see it, like, mm-hmm. you know. And I think the audience knows when it's real and when it's not. And so I think that eventually those folks through the experience, because of how intense it was in the pods and even after the fact, even season two is going to be just successful in my opinion, because that pod situation isn't just, oh, I see, I just talked to your first voice. And then, but no, it's like, what's your family like? And then like, it's real connections, mm-hmm. you know? And
so you kind of have no choice but to make that connection, you're saying?
Yeah. So, I mean, not that you have no choice. It's more so of like, that is what you're involved in like all day. Like that's what you're focused in, and like no one's helping you make that decision. And like, it's like you really build genuine connections. And once you do, it's undeniable.
Yeah, that's crazy. And now that you said that, how long when you actually have like the, let's say the people that you're narrowing down, how long do those conversations last in the pods?
Every day we got more and more time. So like day one, like I said, it was 7 minutes, right? Day two, we had like, I think it was like 15 to 30 minutes. And then like after day three, that was like, you know, that's when you really got out of the general questions, mm-hmm. and more in towards the, like, you know, then they had specific days like of like, you know, this is marriage. We're going to talk about marriage today. And then we're going to talk about like sex. We're going to talk about sex today. Like, or like romantic relationship. Like, what do you look for in a husband? Like, mm-hmm. so like stuff like that. Or like, then like the another one was like family day. Like what, like, so then it was, but you had more time. So those days were like, if you made it to that, those days were an hour and a half and some change per person.
Oh, wow.
And so So think of like an hour and a half to 2 hours, what like how much you can get if that's all you're like talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know,
deep dive.
And it's, yeah, and it's compound. So after the first initial interest, you're kind of like excited to talk to them again. And then you're talking to all these people, and then you talk to that person or whoever, and then you have more time. And then you're like, oh my God, we have more time. And then it goes away. And then you're like, now you have excited again to, it's like that compound effect of interest and, you know, connection that you're just going all the way until you get to day 10. Cause every day felt like a month.
And yeah, I bet.
I'm not going to lie.
And how much downtime did you have? Because I was reading and it said like you had brought your guitar and Barnett mm-hmm. had his little ukulele and somebody else was singing. So, and you guys were like a little misfit band in there. So how much downtime did you guys have like without the cameras and all that?
I would say like, sorry, I'm like losing my voice. But we had a good bit of downtime. So like some of the guys, like when they were in the dating pods, like a lot of us were like just hanging out yeah. and, you know, yeah. whether another guy was taken for an interview or whatever, we do like those like side interviews, you know, when they're like mm-hmm. by themselves. And so like somebody would do that interview. And then like, but we always like, there was always a moment, like I had brought my football too. And we turned it into like our therapy football. Like whenever we didn't like step out and like talk about some stuff, like that was like the, hey man, let's play catch, bro. I need some talk.
Yeah. AKA therapy.
I still have that football to this day and I still have the same guitar. But like, yeah, it was kind of funny how like we all, like, you know, like you said, there was one, Barnett was playing ukulele and it was Kenny that was singing. And then I was playing my guitar and like dudes were like, we started doing funny things. And that's why it turned into like, in my opinion, so a fraternity or like some like a brotherhood. Cause mm-hmm. like we all always came together and made something from nothing.
And for you, you were a personal trainer before this, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is that what you're still doing now?
Yes. So I do group fitness. So I'm on a microphone talking in front of a bunch of people. Like, you know, music's blaring, like high intensity interval, like training. So it's like strength training and like stuff like that. Yeah.
Do you have more people join your classes now?
I'm not going to say no. I will say yes. It's funny because now it's getting to the point where like, I'm having more new people than I have people like in my evening class than I do like people that are regular. And I, like, it's cool. But then I'm like, okay, I'm trying to explain to a lot of people how to do something they've never done before. Here we go.
Yeah.
Pay attention to me. I'm going to speak. That's why I don't really have much of a voice anymore. Cause I'm over here like just yelling, like, okay, talking slow.
That's funny. That's awesome.
I love it. I love what I do. It's for me, it's like, I get 55. I've really worked on my craft in the beginning. Like, really, I was actually scared of public speaking. I was petrified. Like, I've frozen up before. And, like, my first class that I ever coached, I froze up the same way. And eventually, I started to work on it, getting better. And now I've coached classes of 200 people, 300 people. And I've coached a class in my studio, like, always packed. And for me, it's 55. I get 55 minutes to change someone's day, you know? Mm-hmm. So I love what I do. And, you know, it doesn't matter how, if you're tall, short, skinny, you know, big or rich or poor, it's like we're all doing the same thing. And that's what I love about it.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. All right. So now I do got to ask you about Mexico. And when your family was going out for this wedding, what was, did they really think you were going to get married? Or did they think, what were their thoughts on you being on the show? Were they like, all right, he's just going to do this and, you know, whatever. We're just going to show up and support him no matter what he does. Or were they like really excited for you to like fall in love? You know what I mean? Like, what was their thought process?
So having a Latin family, you never really know.
they so tell you one thing, think like, another thing.
Yeah. They could be like, oh, mijo, like, here you go. Like, go do your thing. And then they'll talk to my mom and her sisters and be like, oh my God, can you believe Mark thinks that he's really going to get married? Like,
Chinganique fall in love.
He's going to fall in love. Stupid. No, my luckily for me, and I've been really blessed to have parents that have always supported me, whether that was when I went to go play college football, whether I was, you know, doing what I do as like fitness instructor, like doesn't matter. Like they've always been like, well, if that's what you want to do, like, all right. And
yeah,
you know, my mom has always been kind of like my rock. And she knows that like, I'm like, I make my decisions on my own. She's just always like, and it's always given me that kind of confidence to go do those decisions because yeah. they've always been like, you're going to do what you want to do, but like, we're here. Like, all right. Like we may not agree. we may not think that it's the best thing for you, but like, we're not going to stop you from living your life. And so I'm thankful that I've always had parents like that.
Yeah.
And it's always given me this kind of confidence to go out and do different things, whether it was try to get married at 24 or, you know, be somebody like this.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And you know, then so initially, yes, they gave me like great support. And so, I mean, granted, they probably thought I was crazy, but.
And then, so then you're up there at the altar and then, you know, she says no, that sucks. And you, mm-hmm. I saw that you were saying you had no idea what she was going to say. So it's not like you were expecting, you know, a solid yes, but at the same time, that's what you were hoping for. You know what I mean?
Right. And so my thing is like, you know, it was such a roller coaster ride and it was such a roller coaster ride that like, I honestly, like at one point she was telling me she was going to say no. And I'm like, okay, like that's, I totally get it. And then the next minute she's telling me she loves me. And like, you know, she sees me with like, she's being with me as a family. And then like, you know, I think, so what happens, like when I'm staring at her down the aisle in the moment, I kind of had this flashback of like the reveal day. And for me, everything was so real. Like when I saw the reveal day, like I was on cloud nine. And then it was the same thing when she was walking down the aisle. I was just living in the moment. And so I made a promise to myself that I was always going to be honest to myself in this experience. And so when she walked down the aisle, it was like, I was going through my experience. Like that was me. And like, she spoke her truth and that's okay. Like everything happens for a reason and I'm not mad at her for it. It's, you know, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to ask you about Vic kind of jumped to the end, but like you said, the reveal day, what is that day like? Like somebody that you've been talking to for so many hours, you haven't seen, you're now engaged and you're about to, you know, see her for the first time. She's about to see you. What does that feel like?
Oh man. You know, it's funny watching it back. I've watched it back twice and it's mm-hmm. still like, it's as if it's happening in real time. And I'm just like feeling those emotions again. Like mm-hmm. it was so real. Like, We were, you know, all there. I had to wait, and then I'm sitting there behind the like the little sliding door, and I'm like, "Don't lock my knees out! Don't lock my knees out!" Like, I'm so nervous, and right. then like, it's like everything you ever expected, and you walk across that hall, and just like, man, I don't know. It was such a pure moment for me that I felt like I did it. Like, you know, mm-hmm. and it was like, I deserved it. It was something that I got and it was something that I was worthy of. And like, you know, obviously it didn't work out, whatever, the way we initially planned. But like that moment, I'll never forget for the rest of my life, because that moment truly allowed me to be like, I was as vulnerable as I could have been, no matter mm-hmm. what. And I was 100% myself and I got this.
And in that moment, did you feel like Jessica was reciprocating those feelings towards you too? Like, did you feel like, wow, she's so into me, I think she's beautiful, and this is going to really work? Is that what you were feeling?
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Mm-hmm. I felt that genuinely. Because
yeah. It looked from watching it on TV, it looked like you both were super into each other.
Yeah. And then even like after, so like she was like, they didn't catch this, but we're both from Chicago. And she was mm-hmm. like, this is our World Series win. Like to me, like talking about the Cubs and, you know, 108 years didn't win the World Series. And then like, both of us, like, it's like, I don't know. It just felt so right. And mm-hmm. that moment, I mean, I watch it back and I just sit back and I still get chills watching it because that was what I felt. Like, it was real.
And then you guys are kind of separated for a little bit and then you're off to Mexico, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And what do you think, kind of watching it as a viewer, it kind of seemed like Jessica was a little bit caught up in being rejected by someone, regardless of who it was. I kind of think that she was distracted by that. Were you feeling that, or what was going on in your head?
So I didn't really feel that mm-hmm. until like, you know, after like, you know, that day. So it was a day that we went horseback riding, right? Where I was like, we were like all like in the jungle.
Yep.
You remember that
part? Yep. Yep.
So the day that was like the best day ever. Like I felt comfortable. I was cracking jokes. I was making production laugh. I was making the people on the horseback riding laugh. I was being myself. Like, that's
yeah.
me.
And she said was really feeling, I remember her saying in like her session that she was really starting to like you then, like really fall for you.
Yeah. Because I just felt so comfortable mm-hmm. finally. And it took us a second just because like, it was very intense and getting used to it. And like when we were like that day, I was so happy. And then the next day it just kind of happened where she just felt like she didn't feel like she could get there. And then starts the journey of trying to figure out if we can, you know? And
for me,
I held on to, you know, that love that I thought I had and like everything like that. But it was, you know, it was a journey nonetheless.
And at least, and you know that you gave it everything. So it wasn't from like lack of effort or lack of you trying. And then at the end of the day, you can go home and say, I have no regrets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that's 1,000% right. Because there's so many people. I think that so many times we're trying to protect and like hold on to like, okay, if I don't give them everything, then they can't hurt me. But in reality, it's like, what are you protecting? It's like, that's the one thing that can really build that connection. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you holding back? You know? And in my opinion now, I could be totally wrong, but like for me, like this, so it goes back to this quote that I found. It's from Casino. I don't know if you guys seen it, from Robert De Niro. And it goes, when you love someone, you've got to trust them. There's no other way. You've got to give them the key to everything that's yours. Otherwise, what's the point?
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it's like, you really do. Mm-hmm. And if you've seen that movie, it's the same thing. Like, you give them the keys to everything. And even though you know that there's a possibility that they can hurt you because you give them everything, it's like, that's what love is I'm trusting you with all that. And even if you break that trust, it's like, no, it's cool. Like I don't regret anything because all you're doing is teaching me something and allowing me to move on and be a better person.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, and not to get like, bring the mood down. It's just like, for me, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah. No. Way to mess up the mood, Mark.
You're like, dang, Mark, really? Like what's up, man? No, I take every relationship and I learn so much. Like I really look back at like, for myself and what I learned from it and what that person taught me and like, what is it I can apply in my next relationship, you know? And I was as vulnerable as I could have been. That's what Jess taught me.
And I think like watching it too, it showed you being, when, like you said, you were so vulnerable with the situation and everything. And it made everyone who's watching it just see you. You were such like, you were such an easy person to like character to fall in love with because through every obstacle, you just wouldn't give up. You would see the beauty in everything. Even when she tells you, like, I don't know, before the proposal, like maybe she was feeling Barnett and kind of brushed you aside. Then you came back so hopeful and optimistic. It was really nice to see that. And it was really nice to see that coming from a 24-year-old who was young and could have just been like, you could have got angry and said, well, whatever, I'm over this. And you always took the high road. So I think a lot of people watching this learned from you on how to handle situations when things aren't going the way that you want them to be.
Thank you for that. No, seriously, that really means a lot. Like, because I, you know, we all have a story and we've all been through stuff. And like, mm-hmm. if there's any way that people can take away from my journey and like even one person, and I feel like I've done something for me, like, cause I love people and there, you know, obviously there's always bad people in the world and like, whatever, but like I think there's so much more good mm-hmm. that's out there. The bad just get amplified, and so if anybody could take anything that from mine and Jess's relationship, from our experience, from whatever we talked about, went through, like that means the world to me. And so I really hope that if there's anybody out there that is struggling with anything, like fight through it, and like mm-hmm. you know, there's people out there that's going through the same thing.
And how was the reunion show? Was that the first time you spoke to Jessica since the show was filmed?
Yes. So that was mm-hmm. the first time she had called me a day before the show release. Mm-hmm. But like it was right before the show release. But that was the first time I saw her in like since the wedding day.
And how was that? Was that difficult or kind of like it's been a year and a half and I've grown and I've watched the show?
A little bit of both, honestly. Like it's like we were both kind of like it's like that, not tension, right? But it's like this unknown, like, okay, mm-hmm. how does this, I haven't seen this person in a while, you know, we went together, but we've also grown a lot together. So uh-huh. it's like, you know, I mean, it was not, when she walked up, I still gave her a hug and everything. And, mm-hmm. you know, I meant what I said. And when I told her in the reunion and you know, I literally have no ill will towards her. Like people are like, you need to go off on her and stuff. I'm like, why? She taught me everything I needed. Like that was like an emotional boot camp. Like, thank mm-hmm. you. Like, I appreciate that. Why am I going to be? And like, to me, that's like, I love that. Like I loved her at mm-hmm. a point in my life and that's okay. Like it didn't work out. Why am I going to get mad at somebody, you know, to like to forcefully love me. Like, I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, I want to make sure, like, I wanted to make sure that that was clear as I like, did. I literally am just here to thank you because I'm a way better communicator, person, man, just in general. And like, did it work out? No, but it's okay that it didn't work out. Some of the best things are doors that close to get us into another one.
And do you think, like you said, that you thought it was like God's timing that it came out at this time, and that do you think, like, you're right, had it coming out, had it came out like 3 months after, you probably still were feeling pretty heartbroken, correct? Or
Yeah. I think a little while after the show, I did my kind of due diligence to self-reflect, and I did go to therapy. I'll admit it. And anybody struggling with mental health.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
It's not a stigma. I really, you know, a lot of folks suffer from anxiety and depression, and I, you know, for myself, I had to really deal with the fact of like how intense it was. And then it was just gone, you know, and like, I had to pick up my pieces, right, and like really deep dive, because I studied psychology later in school, but like, you know, it was later on. I started off with accounting, but once I got into psychology, it was just this. I came into it to help myself, and it really opened up the door for to allow me to go to therapy and like be open and honest about it, and like journal and learn how to meditate and really self improve because that's something that. I mean, you can ask anybody in the cast. It's so intense. And even though me and Justin work out, I was sometimes asked like why it didn't work out. But then I realized it's like it didn't work out for a reason. Absolutely. So to have that kind of introspection, you know.
And was it hard to watch the show back, or were you kind of feeling?
I was definitely nervous. I'm not going to lie. I was, because like, you never know. I mean, how they're going to edit it or whatever. And even if they edited a bunch, but I was just kind of like, you know, I relied on like my faith. I prayed. I was like, you know what? Whatever happens, happens. It's the same thing that like when you live life with regrets, right? Like I had no regrets because I gave it my all. And so I kept referring to that to be like comfort, because I'm like, well, I did the best. Like I did everything myself. So if they edit it, whatever, make me say something else, like cool. But like, I know what I did, and I know it was me. On me.
I can't imagine sitting for a year and a half knowing you like had a temper tantrum and just like with that whole scenario with, I forget the couple, was it Diamond and somebody was, or wait,
Diamond and Carlton.
Okay. Maybe? Yeah. Anyways, like just like sitting on the situation of like, oh my gosh, because that was such an abrupt, crazy ending to the experiment. And like you said, you gave it your all and you kind of went through all the way to the, I do type thing. So sitting on that would be easier, I think, than sitting on a fight that ended the relationship. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That would be hard.
I can only imagine. Like, it's like you almost have like unfinished business. And so you're just kind of like sitting there with, I hate like things that are up in the air, right? It's just like, okay, let's clear the air. I want to know whether it's good or bad, like whether you talk to me or not. Like, let's clear the air.
Exactly.
And now that it's all over, right? And you are people, or not people, are females throwing at you, getting thrown at you left and right? Like Oprah, like, oh, here's a female and here's a female and here's a female. Are they just like
hitting up your DMs and all that?
You know, I
yes.
You know, there has been a lot of positivity. I'm going to keep it on a positive. There's been a lot of positivity. I'm super thankful for it. And no, I'm really focused on like what my journey is moving forward and what the next opportunity and what I got to do to like keep building and like be a better man, brother, and like take care of like my family, because that to me is what's the most important thing. And so although I have gotten so much support through all this experience, and I'm super thankful that everybody's connected, it's like I'm really, really focused now on like what the next step, how can I help more people, how can I help myself, how can I again help my family, and like how can I move forward as my career and like what I love to do, because you know, group fitness is a passion of mine, but like how can I help more people in that? Right.
Absolutely.
And like introduce people, because people get so intimidated. They walk in a gym, like an LA Fitness or whatever, and they're like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. But I'm like, group fitness allows you to kind of just like lose yourself and just not even think and like just go with the group. And it's a team atmosphere.
Absolutely.
So I want to introduce people. I want to introduce more and more people to that.
And where can people, if somebody was in you're in Atlanta, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody wanted to go to one of your group classes, where would they have to go?
So it's this place called Soulciety Fitness. So Soul, like S-O-L, and then Society, like society.
Okay.
And so there, I moved over there about a year ago from another spot, and these folks, I mean, it's such a good workout where the lights change based on the effort level. So I get to become like more of a structured coach. So there's like when we're on like an active recovery, I'm talking, my voice is low, and then I start to build it up when the lights change. And then when the lights go red of like high intensity, mm-hmm. then I can really like, and it goes into my playlist with beats per minute. I really get into it. Like it takes me like 3 hours.
I wish I could take it.
Yeah, forever.
It takes me 3 hours to make a playlist because wow. I go, okay, what's the vibe that I'm trying to create? Mm-hmm. What songs go with that vibe? And then do they fit the beats per minute that I'm looking for to really like, because people don't realize like beats per minute, it like allows you to lose yourself in a workout.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
A lot of people just throw songs together and then they wonder why some sets are hyper intense and then some sets are really low, but it's the psychology of the music that really like pushes you through a workout.
Yeah.
And so that's why when I spend time, like all my playlists are on Spotify, I spend all like at least 3 hours, like minimum, to like make these playlists every time. So that's why I'll release like one a week. But it's fun for me. Like I get to create that vibe and mm-hmm. I get to be kind of like the creator of the atmosphere that I want. And so that's why I love the place I'm at, because it allows me the freedom to do that. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. So you heard that. If you're ever in Atlanta and you want to get one of the best workouts of your life, go to Soulciety. Mm-hmm. Soulciety, and take the class that Mark Anthony is a...
and not the singer. But with
a K, right? you're so great. Thank you so much. Where can people follow you on social media?
So people can follow me on Instagram at Mark Anthony Cuevas _. Just one underscore. And then on Twitter at Mark Anthony CUE. They wouldn't allow me to finish my full name, but that's fine. I'm opening up a YouTube channel starting at the end of this week.
Awesome.
Just like more. So it'll be more of like my life continued and like lifestyle fitness. Also, we'll have some workout stuff on there as well. And then, yeah, that's kind of like where my life's kind of trending towards. I'm just kind of keep being me and keep moving forward.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much. It was such a pleasure to have on the show, and we really appreciate you.
Yes.
No, thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure. Seriously, guys. Thank you.
All right. You have a good day. Bye-bye.
Y'all have a blessed one. Take care.
Bye.
We really hope you enjoyed that. Very, very fun, delightful conversation. Obviously because of me.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
I rolled.
A hard eye roll. All right, baby. I got a Spanish word of the day for you. Okay. It doesn't have to do necessarily anything that things that we have talked about per se on the episode.
Okay.
Okay. But the Spanish word of the day is peo.
Peo?
Peo.
Peo. With a P?
Mm-hmm.
Peo.
Peo.
It's just a random word. Like, it's hard for you, someone, just to guess a random word. Do you know what I mean? Like, if it has to do with discussion, that's a little bit easier.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to say a word. There's a jajillion words. You mm-hmm. don't know Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to say one. Mm-hmm. And I want to see if you can get it.
Absolutely.
Give me like a hint. Makes me think of peso, which is money.
You know that one.
Yep.
If I give you any hint, you'll get it automatically.
So that's a hint.
No, that's not a hint.
Vacation? And
fart.
Oh, gosh. That I should have known.
You know why? Because that brings us into...
Weird or normal.
Weird or normal.
Okay, everybody. For weird or normal, do you think that actually hearing somebody fart is funny? Because Victor watches Paul Flart.
Is that his name on Instagram?
Paul Blart?
Well, it's making fun of Paul Blart, the mall cop.
Oh, so it's Paul Flart, F-L-A-R-T. It's disgusting. Because it's real, okay? The fact that it's real and Victor sits there, it's just his face, and you hear this disgusting, juicy fart come out of this man. It makes me want to puke. It's, like, disgusting.
Well, it's funny. You know what? It was originally... Now it's a little extra, right? Because that's all his... All his pages, if you look at it, in his, you know how you could see the pictures of what the videos are?
He has like over 100,000 followers.
It's just all his face, right? That's how all his videos are. It's just his face.
Yeah.
And then he'll just record his face, and then out of nowhere, you hear this like big rip of a fart mm-hmm. or a small one or just all types of farts. And he basically got fired from his job because he was making these videos and he was a security guard.
Okay, so on the other hand, I think fake farts are hilarious to where, like, the video I made of Victor, like, fake farting. Fake fart noises are so funny. Or if you're, like, sitting on a whoopee cushion or on Impractical Jokers when they put, like, a fart machine in some woman's purse and they let it go off and she's looking around the store like, who's farting? I find that stuff so funny.
Well, you know what? And I think, well, for one, a fart is like...
We all fart.
We all fart. And it doesn't matter what country you're from, what language you speak. Honestly, it does not matter. As long as the fart doesn't affect you directly, right? If somebody's sitting at the other side of a table or something, or you see somebody standing over there by somebody, and all of a sudden you hear like, you know, and you know where it came from, people just laugh.
Workout class is terrible. When you're like, you know, doing crunches or something and you just hear someone fart, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah. And for me, it's also, for me, it's like when you have to deal with the smell, that's when it's an issue.
That's a huge issue.
It's not fun anymore, right? If you're in an elevator, like...
It's not cool.
It's like, oh, okay, that's not cool, dude. Like, especially, come on, we got to go up, you know, several floors, right? I'm not going to take the stairs.
Yes, that's very true. When you have to smell it. Victor woke me up out of my sleep with a fart the other day.
I mean, but who doesn't fart around their spouse, right?
I know.
That's a very normal... You fart around me. I mean, not saying that you fart often, but you do it, and it smells really bad.
Yeah, mine are silent and deadly.
Yeah.
That's too much information. Like, I can't really make a fart noise. Maybe that's why I think it's funny.
Yeah.
But we don't think it's funny when people burp, so it's like... Both were getting rid of air.
Yeah, burps are, you know what?
Gross.
For some reason, burps are more nasty to me than farts.
You know, I've always said that my whole entire life. And I'd rather you fart than burp because burps, you can smell the food in like a weird way.
And also, it's like you shouldn't have that nastiness coming out of your mouth, right? It makes more sense when it comes out of your rectum opposed to coming out of your esophagus out to the air, you know, into the world.
Yeah, let's change the topic. okay, so now we are going to read reviews because we are very thankful for you guys.
Yes, we appreciate everything and everything you do for us, and you are the driving force behind this podcast. So, Nicole, take it away.
This one is called The Lion King on Broadway with 5 stars. I love listening to the podcast about your New York City trip. My cousin is actually...
Zazu.
Oh, yeah, Zazu.
That's awesome.
Tony Freeman. I've been a couple times, and he was able to give us a tour... backstage and everything, and that goes into those shows. And everything that goes into those shows. It's truly incredible. You guys both seem so down to earth and normal coming from Victor. You sent me the screenshot of the review I wanted, but it cut off. Does it show up on yours?
You guys seem so down to earth normal coming from a TV show. You guys bring peace and comfort to me everyday life.
That's so sweet.
Keep being amazing, XOXO. That's and actually, awesome. That was on our normal reviews.
Oh, well, I got an email.
It was the first one.
So I got an email of a nice review, and then we share the same Coco Caliente email, and then Vic deleted it. And I said, you better get that back right now.
Okay, let
so
me
then
put...
then he screenshotted it.
Time out. Okay,
this
is another thing that I wanted to talk about. And it falls under the kind of the speck of weird or normal. But is it weird? And I guess this is more normal than I think, but definitely it's something that we should all strive to do. Is unsubscribe from emails, right? So, for example, Nicole and I share a Coco Caliente page. And Nicole, if she finds a new deal that she can get from a place that she's already been using, let's say Express has a new deal, and let's say another company has a good deal or whatever, she'll register with our Coco Caliente email, which we share.
Only if I forget my password to my other one.
So then I start receiving emails to our shared account from things that I don't want to see. So I start unsubscribing. So, and
oh,
I'll delete
do?
Stuff. Yeah, 100%.
Oh, I don't. Sharing an email with you is the worst.
My email is clean. Okay, how many pending emails do you have? If you look at your phone
Over 10,000.
Okay. And how many do I have? If I show you my phone right now, what does that say?
One.
It says 90.
Oh, 90. I was looking at your messages. that's where my app is on your phone.
But like it has 90, which is still, it seems kind of high, but for the grand scheme of things, pretty low, and I can go through and clean those out. But try cleaning out 10,000 emails. Anyway, I digress. I go back to reading my review. The podcast I need. Ricky McKenna, 5 stars. Whenever I used to hear the word podcast, I would think old people talking about boring things, but you two have completely changed my perspective. I knew I was hooked when I was still fully engaged during your more informational segments. I realize I think and talk a lot like Nicole, but my weird or normal tendencies usually side with Vic.
Oh, come on.
Here's one for you. Do you weigh yourself before and after you go to the bathroom to see how much your pee weighs?
No, actually, I never weigh myself.
I don't think I've ever done that. I do this every single time, but was recently told this is weird. Yes.
Yes, that's weird. It is. But weird. I have weighed myself when I was trying to lose weight once after I took a number 2 because I thought, ooh, that was a big one.
That was a big, that one was a pounder. Anywho. Anywho, I love this podcast and wish nothing but success for you. Hope to see you in the backyard interviews one day.
Heck yeah, all stars, baby. I'm just kidding.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much. We hope you enjoyed. Please don't forget to rate, review, subscribe. The easiest way to do that is on the little purple app on your phone on Apple Podcasts. You can listen to this anywhere you listen to podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. Mm-hmm. You can always go to www.cococalientepodcast.com. You can listen there and check out our merchandise. Please follow us at Coco Caliente Pod on Twitter and at Coco Caliente Podcast on Instagram. Thank you.
Thank you.